Say you're Ms. Bell. For 30 years, you've taught fourth grade, but anyone honest will tell you that you do far more than teach. You're the one parents call when they don't know who else to call. You're the one kids come back to find 10 years later just to say thank you. And lately, sitting in your quiet classroom after the last bus pulls away, you felt a catch in your chest you can't quite name. There's a boy this year. Let's call him Marcus, and he needs more than you have. More time, more steadiness, more someone. And the awful truth settles on you. There aren't enough hours in you for Marcus. There aren't enough hours in you for all of them. You can't be everyone's person. If you lead people in any way at all, a classroom, a congregation, a fire crew, a little nonprofit run out of a church basement, you have felt that exact catch. So let me ask you the question this whole guide turns on, the one Ms. Bell is sitting with in that empty room. If you can't be everyone's center yourself, then what exactly is your job? Here's what Book One hands a keeper like you, and it's the thing that takes the weight off your chest. Every group that lasts, every family, every crew, every little community that holds together when life gets hard has a center, not a boss, not a star, not the loudest person in the room. A center is simply someone willing to hold the middle so everyone else can find each other around them. The book has a plain name for it, the grandmother function. And it's careful, right away, to say it does not require any particular kind of person. Not an age, not a gender, not a saint. It just requires someone willing to stand in the middle and stay there. Now watch what that does to your job. You have been quietly believing that to be a good keeper, you have to be the center of every person you serve. That you have to be Marcus's whole world. And that belief is exactly what's wearing you thin, because it's not even true. Your job was never to be everyone's center. Your job is to help each person you serve find a center of their own, or, even better, become one for somebody else. That is a far lighter thing to carry, and it is a far bigger thing to give. Let me bring in a second keeper, because this looks different depending on who you lead. Meet Captain Rivera. She runs a firehouse, 12 people, long nights, the kind of work that bonds you or breaks you. Rivera is tough, fair, the best captain her crew has ever had, and she has the same catch in her chest that Ms. Fring. Bell has, just wearing a different uniform, because Rivera has started to notice something. Her crew leans on her for everything, not just the job, but the divorces, the sick parents, the kid who won't speak to them. She is the center of all 12 of them. Which means when Rivera is off shift or worn down or simply human and tired, 12 people have nowhere to put their weight. She built a room with one beam holding up the whole ceiling, and that beam is her. Now here's what's quietly true of both Ms. Miles, Bell and Captain Rivera, and probably of you. A room with one beam isn't strong. It's fragile, dressed up as strong. The bravest looking way to lead, be the rock, carry it all, never let them see you bend, is actually the most fragile thing you can build. Book One says the strong room is the one with many beams. Your job as a keeper is to add beams, not to be the only one. So how do you actually start with a real person, with a Marcus, with a tired firefighter, with whoever just came to mind? Book One gives you the gentlest tool it's got, and you can use it tomorrow morning. You ask them, softly, this, if something went wrong for you right now. Tonight, who could be at your door in 2 hours? Not who loves you. Not who'd send a kind text. Who would actually get in the car and come? Sit with how quiet and how heavy that question is. For a lot of the people you serve, the honest answer is one or zero. And here is the whole turn of being a keeper, The thing that separates you from someone just collecting sad facts. That number is never a grade. It is never a score on how lovable a person is. It is a map. When someone tells you 2 hours, nobody, they have not confessed a failure. They've shown you that the structure around them is thin. And here is the hope folded inside that, the part you must hold onto, structure can be rebuilt. A thin circle is not a broken person. It's a room waiting for beams. You are not there to judge the number. You are there, gently, patiently, to help it climb. Now, I can hear the smart keeper pushing back, and you should, because this question can go wrong in the wrong hands. You might be thinking, isn't it intrusive to ask someone who'd come to their door? Doesn't that turn me into the person taking notes on how alone they are? Collecting their weak spots? Sizing them up? Good. Hold that, because it's a real danger and we are not going to wave it away. Here's the line that keeps it honest, and you have to actually mean it. You ask the 2-hour question to give, never to grade. The second it becomes you quietly scoring people, ranking who's connected and who's a sad case, filing it away, you've broken the whole thing, and people can feel that from a mile off. They'll close like a door, so the test is simple, and it's on you, not on them, if their answer is 2 hours. Nobody. Does some small part of you feel a click of confirmation? Knew it. Or does your whole self lean in, warm, ready to help build? If it's the first, put the question down until it's the second. We never, ever ask in order to watch people or test them. The keeper in the middle isn't running a background check. She's setting a place for one more. You ask so you can help. That's the only reason that keeps your hands clean. Let me bring in something old here. Because the idea that a group needs a center isn't something we invented. People have circled it for a very long time. There's a long-standing idea among the folks who study how human families work. It's usually called the grandmother hypothesis. And the plain version of it is this. Unlike almost every other creature, humans live a good long stretch past the years of raising their own young. And that stretch turns out not to be useless. Those extra years gave families a steadying presence in the middle, someone with time, with memory, with a free pair of hands, who helped hold the whole group together. The interesting part isn't really about any one person. It's about shape. Groups that had a steady center in the middle did better than groups where everyone was just scrambling on their own. Now I'm keeping that loose on purpose. And you should too. It's a general idea, not a number, to quote. But sit with the shape of it, because it's the exact thing Book 1 is built on. The strength was never in one hero carrying everyone. The strength was in having a center at all, a held middle that let everybody else orient and steady themselves around it. That is the whole job. Not be the strongest, hold the middle. All right, let's bring this home, to you, the keeper, because this stops being a nice idea the moment it's about your own people. So let me ask you 3 honest questions, and actually pause on each one. First, who are you trying to be the only beam for? Where have you quietly decided that if you don't hold it, the whole ceiling comes down, and you've been carrying that alone, like Rivera, like Ms. Bell? Second, which of the people you serve has a thin circle? A 2-hour answer of one, or nobody's, that you've been treating as their sad fact instead of your invitation. And third, the one that matters most. So be still for it. Where are you so busy being everyone's center that you've forgotten to help any of them become a center for someone else? Here's the quiet aha at the heart of Book 1. The thing every great keeper figures out eventually. The goal was never to be the strongest, most dependent on person in the room. The goal is to work yourself, lovingly, out of that job, to fill the room with so many small centers that it stands strong even on the day you're not there. You're not building a circle around yourself. You're teaching people to hold their own. So here's your give this week. And it's small on purpose, because the whole point is that good keeping is not about doing more. It's about doing one small, true thing. Pick one person you already serve. Just one. Someone you can sit with for 10 minutes without it being a whole big thing, and do three quiet things. Number one, ask them, warmly, the two-hour question. Who'd really be at your door? Ask it to give, not to grade. You remember the difference now. Number two, when they answer, do the hardest thing a helper ever does. Just listen. Don't fix it. Don't recruit anyone. Do not. And this is the trap every keeper falls into. Volunteer yourself as the answer, as the one more beam. Just let them be heard. And number three, before you leave them, plant one tiny seed toward a center that isn't you. Name one person in their world who could be at that door and gently wonder out loud whether they've ever told that person how much they'd matter in a hard hour. That's it. You're not solving their whole circle today. You're giving them something rare and real, a moment where someone cared enough to ask who's actually around them and then help them see one beam they already had. Ask one person. Just listen. Point to one center that isn't you. That's the week, and everything we build in the next four episodes grows straight out of it. So that's the first thread, and it runs through every one of these five books for every keeper who picks them up. Here's what I'd carry out of book one. If you carry nothing else, your gift was never being everyone's center. It's helping each person you serve find one or become one. Ms. Bell can't be enough hours for Marcus. Captain Rivera can't be the only beam holding up 12 people. And neither can you. And that turns out to be the good news, not the bad, because the strong room was always the one with many centers, not one hero in the middle going quietly dry. Ask one person the two-hour question this week. Just sit with the answer and help them see one beam that isn't you. If part of you is still the skeptic, worried, this is just a soft way of sizing people up. Good. Bring that worry along. It's exactly what keeps your hands clean. The full case, all the stories, and the science underneath it is in Book 1 whenever you're ready for the deep end. Next time, we get practical about something every keeper hits fast. The doubts the people you serve will throw at you, and how you answer them without flinching. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. See you there.